The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, folks. That's good to sit with you. So yesterday was effort and effortlessness. And the effort that we make and the kind of momentum of goodness. I don't know whether it's momentum or inertia. Somebody once harassed me about that. I'm not sure which, kind of staying metaphorical here. But today, disenchantment with samsara and the abiding care for the world, the engagement. And so the Buddhist path really, it begins with a recognition of the vulnerability of the human condition, aging, sickness, death, the kind of like the dimension of human life that is sort of defenseless. And that's generally construed as a problem to be solved, a kind of condition to be exited. And it's probably underemphasized in a lot of modern articulations of Dharma, but a lot of the suttas, the sense of something like, get me out of here is too much. And it was, and it is, and it's very understandable that one might be dissatisfied with the intensity of even a fortunate, very fortunate life. So the kind of instruction, curiously, is to stay very deeply with sensory experience, as I was instructing in the meditation, to stay deeply with sensory experience. But that when we stay that deeply, it actually takes us out of the ordinary sensory world. Famous from, right, Bahiya Sutta, in the seen is merely the seen, and it goes on, and the cognized is merely the cognized, then you will not be with that. When Bahiya, you are not with that, you will not be in that. When Bahiya, you are not in that, then Bahiya, you will be neither here nor beyond nor in between the two. Just this is the end of suffering. A lot to say about that, but this way in which our immersion into sensory experience gives us a kind of foothold outside it. That's one way of dealing with the intensity, the vulnerability of the human condition. Modern interpretations of insight practice often celebrate vulnerability, and its associated duty to care. The way that just perceiving vulnerability opens our heart, right? It's takes a very hardened heart to see vulnerability and exercise cruelty or something like this. So we're in the kind of like early phases, really, of extrapolating a lay path from a monastic tradition. So are we renouncing samsara? Are we redeeming samsara? Are we doing both can a kind of disenchantment and love of the human condition fit together? So, on the disenchantment side, we do have this deep conditioning that there's something we could acquire, something we could acquire that might resolve all of our longings. And the Buddha says, no. No. There's a way that until we, some part of us gives up on the world, we're always expecting more than the world can give us. Always expecting the things of the world to give us more than they can. And we don't grow much on the path unless there's some measure of renouncing the world. Samvega, the kind of I t spoke about this the day long at IRC a couple weeks ago. There are just too many kind of toys and bells and promises and distractions for our spiritual practice to take root unless there's some sense of just like my longings will not be satiated by this world, by sensory experience. So it's from Tanisiro Bhikkhu. Samvega was what the young prince Siddhartha felt on his first exposure to aging, illness, and death. It's a hard word to translate because it covers such a complex range, at least three clusters of feeling at once. The oppressive sense of shock, dismay, and alienation that come from realizing the futility and meaninglessness of life as it's normally lived. A chastening sense of our own complacency and foolishness in having let ourselves live so unconsciously, and an anxious sense of urgency in trying to find a way out of the meaningless cycle. Buddhism is not only confident that it can handle feelings of samvega, but it's also one of the few religions that actually cultivates them to a radical extent. Its solution to the problems of life demands so much dedicated effort that only strong Samvega will keep the practicing Buddhist from slipping back into their old ways. We can be completely mesmerized by samsara's shell game. From cradle to grave, just looking, looking, looking. Where is it? Where's my life? We can be perpetually enticed into just the fixing and achieving and becoming, acquiring, owning. And then it's time to die, and everything's broken. It cannot be fixed, and nothing is owned. Ajahn Sajito said the hardest thing for a human being is what's enough, because you can always want more. And so there is this movement in spiritual practice, this kind of turning away. The Dharma is not something for nothing. It's not. And this is a measure of disenchantment. And yet, the pivot here, yet. We only want to escape samsara because we care so much about suffering, our own, that of others. We care so much about it. And maybe the kind of movement of becoming disenchanted, we turn away from the world because, well, at least I can free my own heart. That's maybe what I can manage. And that's true. That's true in 600 BC. That's true now. But times are different now. It's not 600 BC. And in a way, technology, science has scaled our defilements, but also our paramis. It's made us obviously like a profound existential threat to our own existence, but it's also developed, our goodness in amazing ways. We have tremendous power to engage and help others. We understand our bodies in like incredibly nuanced ways, right? I was at a lecture conversation on just a couple of days ago, Monday night, and like learning about a kind of global health conversation, and I diarrhea is still like the cause of death for several 100,000 kids, less than five, and oral rehydration solution kits with zinc cost about $3 to deliver. And you do some math, you do some kind of medical statistics and analysis, and if you treat several hundred kids with severe diarrheal disease, you'll save a life. Yeah, cost about $2,000 is the estimate. Yeah. And so what am I supposed to do with that? Renounce samsara, go back to meditating, fiddle with the upa kalesas, the middle path between everything means everything and nothing means anything. And as we actually loosen the grip on the world, this actually dramatizes the plight of humanity. As we get space through a measure of disenchantment and letting go, that space comes to be filled with care. And our gestures of love will not turn samsara into a utopia. The First Noble Truth will never be eradicated. But yeah, this little patch of suffering, I want to care for that. Again, this from Ria Khan. When I think about the sadness of the world, their sadness becomes mine. Oh, that my priest's robe were wide enough to gather up all the suffering people in this floating world. And we know the robe will never be wide enough, but that it were so. And so 1 foot out of this world and 1 foot really, really in it. I offer this for your consideration. And we'll be back tomorrow, probably. Sorry for any confusion about the stream. It keeps defaulting to a private stream, so apologize if there's any confusion. And may we all have a good day of practice in the broadest sense of that word. Okay.